Hello and Happy New Year. I'm excited to welcome you to the first Student Loan Planner podcast episode of 2023, and I thought we would talk about a very exciting topic, which is how to become wealthy and how to reach financial independence faster this year. Remember 2020. How do you feel during that year compared to now? I'm going to guess that you probably feel a little bit better. 2020, at least the first 2 months of the year of 2020 were awesome. I had a great birthday trip with my family. You know, we all thought this thing coming out of Wuhan was just going to be some other extra story on the news. And then boom, lockdowns. I'm a big extrovert. So it was absolutely awful for me to not be able to go out and do the usual thing. I'm not sure how it was for you. Maybe it was awful too, or maybe you enjoyed some of the peace and quiet. But regardless, think about 2020. How would you have guessed the stock market performed in 2020? It did about 15% that year. Now, in 2022, we had COVID finally, for most people, in the rearview mirror in terms of something that we worry about every day. We have sort of turned the corner with this, you know, supply chain mass chaos. The housing market is not mooning anymore. How would you have guessed the stock market did this year? So far, it looks like it's going to be right around negative 15%. So you had a year that things were absolutely awful, and the stock market did pretty good. And then you had a year where things went okay, with some very notable exceptions, and things went absolutely awfully bad. If that doesn't tell you that you can't predict the future, I don't know what does. So I want to talk about a little bit about how to invest for the future, especially given that we have no clue what's going to happen in 2023, and how you can make this year a year of explosive wealth growth for you, specifically because you chose the path that you have taken getting an advanced education. So this episode is really going to be focused for you folks that decided to get a bachelor's degree, but probably a master's or professional or doctorate degree in particular. And we're going to talk about some of the superpowers that you have because of your education, because of what is going on in the world in 2023 that is going to give you a huge leg up and is going to make you feel a lot better about taking on a ton of student loan debt to pursue the life path that you've chosen. Let's talk about what's going on in the world in 2023 and kind of how we got here, right? Going into 2022, folks were thinking, okay, you know, we're sort of in the last throes of COVID, right? And then, you know, it's sort of become something that we're all just living with now. We had, out of nowhere, a war. Russia invaded Ukraine, messed with global energy markets, messed with markets just in general. There was all these fears about dislocation of all kinds of things. And we also had record-breaking inflation, the worst inflation in 40 years, as many of us just gave up on trying to ever possibly buy a dishwasher. And this is why the future is so unpredictable, is you just don't know what's going to happen until it happens. And anybody who says otherwise is probably trying to trick you into thinking something in particular. Are we going to have a recession in 2023? If you look at the markets certainly think there's a solid possibility. You know, when you think about the way the stock market and the bond market are valued, there's always baked in a probability of certain things happening. So the market very rarely says, okay, we're pricing in 100% probability of a recession. That's not how things work, right? If the market's kind of taking a little bit of a beating, the market's kind of thinking that there might be a recession, but they can't be certain, right? And that's kind of where we're at right now. If we think about the way that bonds performed in 2022, bonds did really poorly as well. So you had about a negative 12.5% return on bonds on top of the negative 14.5% return for U.S. stocks. And international stocks also performed about negative 14%. So really awful year for all kinds of asset classes. Now you might say, well, not real estate. Real estate did amazingly well. And to that, I would say, well, go try to sell something that you bought now, and you might be able to sell it. You might be able to get the gains that you thought you were going to get. But generally speaking, one issue I have with folks that are really hard in the tank for real estate investing is the only way to grow wealth is one of the benefits of real estate, honestly, is illiquidity from a psychological perspective, because you don't have somebody shouting over your fence every single day telling you what the market price of your house is. Now, you might have Zillow. You have that, right? That's a little bit of an update in life. But everybody knows that Zillow values can't really be taken seriously. They're just very rough guesstimates. And so I think a lot of times people think that they're way outperforming the public markets with their investments in other fields, right? When partly the reason is because, you know, it's less liquid. You can't just sell it tomorrow and have the cash. But in general, what's going to happen in 2023? Well, if we knew, we could really position our portfolios appropriately, right? What I'm here to tell you is that you don't need to do that. So I'm going to focus on some positives in 2023, some really great things that are going on with investment climate, and then we're going to focus on some big risk factors in 2023. And I want to talk to you again about that superpower that you've got that I want you to flex to the max in this new year so that you secure more financial freedom and choices for you and your family. So let's talk about the last time we had really bad inflation. The last time that we really had inflation take off was in about 1968. How is 1968 at all similar to today? Well, we had a massive disruption in the world, right? All kinds of earth-shattering things happened. There's like a CNN documentary, I think, about it, about how many crazy things happened in 1968. I believe we had Vietnam War, we had LBJ, I think, decided to not run for re-election. I believe assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., assassination of Bobby Kennedy. It was a very unstable, very uncertain time in American history. And I think what happened with inflation is we had to pay for the Vietnam War. They didn't want to raise taxes a ton to pay for it. And so basically they borrowed a bunch of money and that caused higher inflation, which is sort of similar to what happened with COVID, just totally something different though, right? And so we had this higher inflation, and what happens to markets in a period of higher inflation? Basically, you have future profits become worth a lot less, and then bonds also become worth a lot less. So people that are owners of capital, what they have is worth less money. Now, it's also true that workers' wages are worth less money. Inflation's not good for anybody, really, except for people who are debt holders. But here's what's something that's really nuts. If you're a student loan, you know, debt holder, inflation might not even be good for you, because if you're paying back on an income-driven repayment plan and your income goes up with inflation, you might actually pay back more money because of inflation, especially if you have a debt-to-income ratio high enough that there's no chance you're going to pay off your debt. So you could say that in this particular case, inflation's even bad if you are a debt holder of student loans in many cases. So in 1968, what happened, you had the inflation rate, if you will, really started ticking up in a big way very quickly. And would you believe that inflation was pretty much bad from 1968 to about 1982? So for 14 years, inflation was not good. And it got really bad in the 70s and 80s when you had OPEC and oil rationing and the lines to fill up your gas. You can only fill up, only people on even numbered plates could fill up certain days, odd numbered plates a different day. It was a mess. It was a real mess. If I just picked a period of 1968 to 1982, what we can say is if you invested $1,000 every year from 1968 to 1982, 14 years, at the end of 1982, you would have had $32,000. Now, this is in a portfolio of 50% bonds and 50% stocks. So what if you had everything in stocks? You would have had almost the same amount of money. So that's kind of interesting, right? 100% in US stocks, you would have had about 33,000. If you'd done 50% bonds, 50% stocks, then you would have had about 32,000, but with about half the risk. Now, is that particular period of time unusual? Well, what if you added some international stocks to that? So if you put in, say, 25% US stocks, 25% international stocks, 50% bonds, and if we look at that period, what you can see is you earned about 1.5% more per year, and you also had even less risk to your portfolio than if you had done just U.S. stocks and U.S. bonds. So this is why this investment opportunity for the next 5 to 10 years, I think, is so important to be diversified. So one lesson that a lot of people don't know about is Japan in the 1980s, 1990s. So as I record this, I'm actually wearing a Nakatomi Plaza sweatshirt from a Christmas party. I bought it for a Christmas party this year. And I love this story because Die Hard 1988, what happened in 1988 in terms of the stock market? So Japan was on top of the world financially. It was said that the land under the Imperial Palace in Tokyo was worth more money than all of the land in California combined. There was a massive bubble in Japanese asset prices, and Japanese companies were swallowing assets right and left because their stock was so expensive. But then what happened? Basically, the bubble popped, and Japanese stock market, the Nikkei, fell like 90%. It's actually still not recovered, I believe, from the point it was when I was born until now. I mean, that's a long time. When most of us were born until now, it hasn't recovered. So this is the danger of thinking that the past is going to be like the future. Obviously, I hope that the U.S. stock market continues to soar. It's certainly a lot more diversified than the Japanese stock market, and I'm not nearly as worried about it as I would be about other smaller stock markets around the world. But it's still a risk, and so you want to protect your family against any eventuality that could happen. And so that's why you split your money in different places. Now, I have no problem with real estate. I think it's great to diversify. You don't need real estate, though, unless you just want to be involved with it. So you could do U.S. stocks, international stocks, and then U.S. bonds, and then pick the right allocation accordingly based off of what your risk tolerance is and your long-term goals. And what that does is, in a period with very high inflation, if that's what we encounter, then you're going to be buffeted just by having just a lot of different stuff going on in your portfolio. If inflation continues to get worse and you're buying more and more and more bonds, basically you're buying more and more bonds that are paying a higher interest rate along the way, and that money's getting reinvested and giving you higher returns along the way. Let's talk about why the stock market falls a bunch when you have really high interest rates, because I do want to talk about that too. So why would Tesla be down 65% this year? Doesn't make sense, right? Tesla, amazing company, most amazing car company out there, right? You could even say they're more than a car company, they're an energy company, right? But why did they fall so much? It has a lot to do with interest rates. So if you have record inflation, money's a lot more expensive. What happened in 2022? The Federal Reserve pulled back in the economy and stopped buying bonds the way they have been in the past really decade plus. And what that did is it allowed interest rates to rise, and they did that intentionally because inflation was running hot, and they wanted to press the brakes as hard as they could to not let inflation expectations get built into the economy. That's what made 1968 to 1982 rough economically for the U.S., is inflation expectations got baked into the markets, and then it was just very difficult to have economic growth be what it needed to be because of that. If you think about why Tesla would fall, you have to understand how investors or the market values future earnings. Let's just say that you could get $10,000 in 10 years, or you could get $5,000 today. Which one would you want? Well, it depends on interest rates. If you were told that interest rates for the next 10 years are going to be 1%, you know, then you would much rather have that $10,000 in the future. Now, if inflation was going to be super high and you could have $10,000 in the future or $5,000 now, you'd much rather have $5,000 now. So what happened is, back when interest rates were really low, money was really easy to get. You know, it was just not a big deal at all to get loans, right? And so everybody had assets, everybody had money, banks were falling all over themselves to lend, and people were buying a bunch of random joke crypto coins and NFTs that were worthless and all these different things, right? And people were buying all these meme stocks. It's kind of crazy to think about, but in early 2022, I believe that's what was going on with that, right? If we think about like Tesla falling so much, when you have really low interest rates, $10,000 in 10 years is worth almost the same thing as $10,000 today. Well, if you think that Tesla is the best company in the world and everyone's going to drive a Tesla, and not only that, but Tesla's going to power everybody's home with, you know, solar panels instead of the utility grid or something like that around the world, then maybe Tesla makes $100 billion in 10 years or 20 years. Or maybe it makes $100 billion in 30 years. And if inflation is really low and interest rates are really low, that $100 billion profit that they're going to earn in 30 years is worth almost $100 billion today. And that's what would make a company like Tesla worth so much money, be a $1 trillion company, even though the current earnings are not reflecting that. Now, with the flip side, if you have high interest rates, what you suddenly have to do is look at tying your money up for 30 years in a stock like Tesla. Well, you could go take that money and put it in the bank now and earn 4%. It used to be that you'd earn zero, but now you earn 4% if you put it in the bank. So now there's a huge cost to having your money tied up in Tesla every single year. And if you're talking about tying that up for 30 years, you're talking about foregoing a massive, massive amount of interest income. So suddenly that $100 billion in 30 years, it's not worth $100 billion today. Maybe it's worth $30 billion because of how much interest income you're giving up to eventually get that profit. And then maybe two, because interest rates are higher, a company like Tesla that has to borrow a ton of money to have enough cash to operate to meet its goals, maybe those goals are a lot less certain now because the cost of capital is so high, they're going to have to scale back their ambitions. So now not only are you reducing that future profit with a higher interest rate in terms of what it's worth in today's money, you're also having to level set the expectations of Tesla that people previously had in the future. Think about a company like Facebook in early 2022. They're creating everything. Everyone's going to spend all day, every minute of their lives on Facebook or Instagram, and they're going to communicate everywhere else with WhatsApp. Suddenly, fast forward a year with more expensive money, more expensive cost of capital, and Facebook has to borrow billions of dollars to fund Meta. Will it be successful? Who knows? But what we do know is suddenly the prospect of burning billions of dollars of profits every single year when you could have taken that money and go invest it and earn 4% interest, suddenly that looks really expensive. And then suddenly you look at Facebook instead of as a growth story, you look at as a company that you wish you could keep the legacy part of the company and earn a bunch of profit from it because you think it's probably eventually going to be worth nothing instead of having it being this amazing growth stock that's going to be worth a ton of money. So this is what's going on in investing right now. You have this massive shift in the paradigm from early 2022 to early 2023. It's totally different now because everybody realizes you can earn a ton more money putting your money in the savings account now, which wasn't possible in early 2022. We know for sure with a House GOP, there will not be another giant stimulus bill that's going to hand out everybody stimulus checks in 2023. Consumers are all fearing, you know, that there could be a recession. So in a lot of ways, people are sort of buckling down a little bit, being a little bit more cautious about their spending. Now, what's weird too is we've got a tale of two cities with this. Some folks are going out and spending a ton of money and not really feeling it at all. Other folks really cutting back, really getting hit hard, trying to conserve money wherever they possibly can. So it's a very confusing time. So let's talk again about a couple positives about investing. Even though it's a very confusing time, even though it just seems so difficult to figure out what to do at the moment. So some positives for you. You have a multi-decade horizon. If you look at a 20-year period, stocks beat bonds 100% of the time. If you think about what do you want your portfolio to be in 20 years from now, you basically don't have to worry really, because as long as you put it in something, it's going to be worth a lot more than what it is now. That's really good. Most of the people in our community are in their 20s to 40s. Some folks are older than that. We love you guys too. But the 20 to 40 year olds, you probably have 30 to 60 years worth of investing ahead of you. And that means that you have a massive amount of wealth growth that's going to happen by you having a significant part of your investments in stock type investments. So that's a really good thing. So regardless of what happens in 2023, it almost doesn't matter. It's a rounding error in your eventual net worth if you get started really early. Because if you get started really early investing, that makes your number of doubling periods higher. So if you think about the time it takes to double your money, if you have a 10% return, it takes 7 years to double your money. So if you think about, you know, investing over a long period of time, you could easily be talking about 2 to 4 times as much money getting started earlier investing than if you waited and put it off. And that makes what happens in the stock market or bond market in 2023 a lot less important than you feeling very confident that you know what to do, that you know what you're doing, that you're taking the right actions, and really stepping up to take those actions in 2023. So that's first positive. Second positive is tax loss harvesting. So in 2022, I said at the very beginning of 2022 that this coming year would be, or the coming year in 2022 would either be a year where the stock market would keep roaring or we'd have a rough year and it would be a big opportunity for tax loss harvesting. Tax loss harvesting opportunities were very present in 2022. So at some points, you know, I personally harvested 5 figures of paper losses in trades for my portfolio so that if I ever sell something for a gain in the future, I can write that gain off with paper losses from exchanging similar but not identical investments. So what that means is, you know, you sell your total stock market index fund, buy the S&P 500 index fund at Vanguard, wait 31 days, swap back, you can claim that paper loss against your taxes. Now, you can only claim $3,000 a year against your active income. So that would save you probably $1,200 in most cases from taxes, just that alone. But on top of that, you can take any extra losses and apply that against any capital gains. So that's a real positive opportunity that we have in 2023 is we will either see a pretty nice recovery or we will continue to see losses. And if we see losses, you're going to be building up assets at a very cheap price, and you're also going to be able to take advantage with, you know, a bunch of tax savings that you'll be able to secure. Another positive, I would say, is just income stability. So this is something that I want to just praise you for, making a smart decision, going and getting a professional degree. A lot of people feel guilty, feel stressed, feel like, what if I took a different path? You know, what if I didn't have 6 figures of student loan debt from going to law school or PT school or vet school or pharmacy school, whatever? The one thing I'll tell you is this: your unemployment rate is much lower with a professional degree. It is a fraction of what it is, even with a bachelor's degree. And what that means is you're far more protected from the economy than somebody that has a bachelor's degree. So, you know, as an example here, let's talk about student loan consultants and folks that have refinancing links on their website. Higher interest rates, way less people refinancing. The pause of all pauses on student loans being uber permafrost frozen until the Supreme Court makes up its mind. You know, slower period for giving out student loan advice, even though the IDR waiver is one of the biggest opportunities ever. And we're not telling people enough about it because it's even more powerful than the PSLF waiver. We could save people more money with the IDR waiver than we could with the PSLF waiver, but people just don't understand that as intuitively because the PSLF waiver just seemed to make more sense to people than the IDR waiver. I got to do a better job about that in 2023 with some future podcast episodes explaining the IDR waiver, by the way, that we have until May to do that. So we'll have time. But my income, a lot more variable. Now, it could go way higher than my physician wife, but, you know, it could also go lower, right? And so one thing, if you're looking at lending somebody money, one thing that people that lend money look at is how likely is it that this person's going to be able to pay the money? And if you look at a physician or a dentist or even a lawyer, which can be a little subject to fluctuations, right? But if you look at these professional degrees, folks pay back their loans. It's very, very rare to default on your mortgage. Why is that? Again, it's because you invested in a career that gives you a real skill that's in demand that, yeah, it might not be the income you want. You might feel taken advantage of by your employer. You might have a lot of stress at work, dealing with a lot of real challenges. But one thing from a financial perspective you can say is you are more secure. Maybe not always making more money than your friend that went to the same undergrad as you and went straight into Wall Street or something like that, but definitely more secure. And that's a big positive in 2023 because here's some of the risks in 2023. We could very much see a meltdown in the economy. There's a lot of really weird situations going on right now. There's still a lot of paper home equity that people have gained, and a lot of people are just sort of sitting on that for a variety of reasons. But if people really panicked about housing prices and started selling, you could see, you know, the housing market get real, real ugly, right? You could have a ton of people trying to sell and sort of have another, wouldn't be 2007, wouldn't be that big probably, but it would be a serious situation. So that's one issue, is, you know, sort of like a housing induced recession. There's also just the risk of a recession in general. Like, you know, we have one every 10 years ish, you know, we're overdue. We had the recession, the COVID recession, but the Fed kind of killed that before it really even happened. So could we see just a straight up recession for some reason that we don't even know about yet? Yeah, sure. It's possible. So that's a risk. Another risk is inflation continues to run. So let's just say that, you know, everything the Federal Reserve does just continues to not work. And for some reason, stuff just keeps getting more expensive for any number of reasons. Well, that could be a big issue too. A lot of these risks that are present are actually not that serious of a risk when you have your brain. And here is why. The reason why, let's go back to the very beginning, why in a period of like 5 to 15%, you know, inflation from 1968 to 1982, earlier in this pod that we talked about, the reason why you basically tripled your money by regularly investing is because there were some real bad years for the stock market between 1968 and 1982. And somebody that consistently bought into the markets was buying more shares of stock when the prices were beaten down and fewer shares when the prices were higher. And this concept is called the harmonic mean. So a harmonic mean is not intuitive. It's something, or maybe it's intuitive to some people, but it's not intuitive to me. You know, you hear about geometric mean, average. That makes sense, right? You've got one puppy that's 10 pounds, one puppy that's 30 pounds, average weight is 20 pounds. But the way to understand harmonic mean is you've got $20 and you buy 10 gallons of gas at $2 a gallon, and then you've got $20 and you buy 20 gallons of gas at $1 a gallon because the price went down. What's the average price of gas? Well, it's, you know, you'd think, oh, $2 and $1, it's $1.50. No, it's not, because you bought more gas and the price was cheaper. So 20 gallons plus 10 is 30 gallons. You spent $40, so 40 divided by 30 is $1.33. That is why repeated buying of something over time helps you get a lower average purchase price, which gets you much higher returns. That is the superpower that you have, and here's why. What happens to stockbrokers or mortgage bankers or financial planners or just random corporate business cycle exposed manager during recessions? Can you continually investing to the same level that you were before? Probably not. In fact, you might even lose your job at the worst possible time. Think back to 2008. How many anesthesiologists lost their jobs in 2008? Probably almost nobody. Now, think to, you know, other kinds of fields that are maybe more consumer discretionary, even a more consumer discretionary type of job, you know, still did not get hit nearly as bad as a business cycle exposed profession. That job security that we're talking about, that's the kind of power you're going to have if there is a recession. If it's 2023 or 4, 2025, it doesn't matter when, you're going to be able to buy when other people are losing their jobs and having income stress and there's blood in the streets financially. And that is your superpower. That's the thing that you bought with your six figures of student loan debt or five figures of student loan debt. It's security that you will always have a skill that no one can ever take away from you, that if you choose to practice it in the labor market, has higher than average earnings, probably, but for sure has more stable guaranteed earnings than the vast majority of people. So why do professionals buy own occupation disability insurance? Because you spent years of your life and six figures, you know, buying this degree, that if you lost that ability to earn that income, it could put your more expensive than average home at risk of being foreclosed upon if you lost the ability to earn an income. That's one of the reasons in 2023 we started or 2022, I should say, we started SLP Insurance to try to help folks get the best price on occupation insurance because of this very issue, where as long as you have good, if you have a family, right, good term life insurance, own occupation disability insurance, or somebody in your family does, if you want to try to diversify across the family, you start investing, match your employer, get your employer a match, start investing outside of retirement, not just inside of retirement, be smart with big financial decisions like buying a home and car. if you do all these things the right way and you learn how to invest and you learn how to invest consistently, right? So that you're buying consistently into the markets. If you learn how to do all these things, nothing can stop you from achieving outrageous financial success. I want to share a story with you that I'm going to anonymize as much as possible. There's somebody that I know that works in a group, a physician group, who was asked to take on way more annoying middle of the night type of call shifts, you could say. And everybody was afraid to say no to the hospital. Why were people afraid? Well, a lot of reasons, right? Job security, mortgage, not wanting to not look like a team player, right? But the fact that they were asking this group to take on, you know, this particular call schedule was kind of crazy. A senior doctor spoke up in the group and basically said, heck no, we're not going to do that. And that to me is a great example of what financial independence and financial freedom can do for you. Does that old doctor need to work financially? Probably not. But because that person has probably a significant amount of financial assets, that person is pretty much untouchable. You know, the worst thing you can do to that person is fire them, but you can't even fire them right now because there's a shortage of physicians and you can't replace anybody that you lose because you have to give so much higher of a wage to attract a new person to the job. So what people do is they leverage themselves up. They don't know about investing. They don't know about personal finances. And they let their employers run their lives instead of letting themselves run their lives. So what I want for you is for you to find your calling and for you to have control over your life. And there is a period when you're younger where you kind of do need to put your head down, work hard, save money, earn money, do that stuff, right? Maybe you're in that phase of life. That's fine. But what I want for you in 2023 is that you either get on the train towards being to that position where you're in the driver's seat with your employer and can call the shots, or maybe you're changing careers, doing something completely different because you realize that you can because of all your savings and investing. That's what led me to create Student Loan Planner. I saved up enough money to quit my job and travel for a year and a half. And that was the best decision career-wise I have ever made. But that was only possible because I had saved up a bunch of financial assets to give me that choice. I want choice for you. I want you to have financial freedom. You can call it a lot of different things, financial independence, you know, independently wealthy. There's all these different names for it. It's not going to necessarily fulfill you either. That's not going to fix medical issues. It's not going to fix relationship issues, right? More money is not the solution to all life's problems, but what it does provide is options. So in 2023, I hope that you learn about investing, and I hope that you take these tools and put them in your tool belt and pair them with the education that you fought so hard to get. And the combination of those things is going to be a superpower where pretty soon, way sooner than you ever dreamed possible, maybe, you're going to be that untouchable employee that gets to dictate whatever you want to do with your life and your career, be that having a very rewarding career, working until you're 70 years old because you love it, and optimizing your career to get out all the junk as much as you possibly can, or retiring at 40 and traveling the world and living in a villa in Italy, and anything in between. And the great news is that regardless of your student loan debt, all this is possible thanks to the power of investing and thanks to just a lot of the stuff that I have been sharing with you for the past several years, some of you. And if you're just coming across this, I hope that you really realize that these investing possibilities are really just unbelievable when you learn the math and you learn all the tools and you learn all the tricks and you learn all the, you know, the tax loss harvesting and the different names of mutual funds, and why banks pay, you know, 1% on your checking for however long, and how you could move that over with a simple swipe of a pen to an account paying 4.2%. and earn quadruple the amount of interest. There's so many ways that you could save $1,000 in 2023. And I think we might talk about that next week. So I've got a big announcement for you next week on next week's podcast. Thank you for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast. Remember that you can leave a comment or question, studentloanplanner.com/voicemail. If you have any questions or comments you want to share on the show, we'll maybe answer some questions there. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait for 2023 to be the year that you get on the road to rapid financial freedom. Thank you, everybody.